Oh, we're recording. Good. So some of this could be outtakes.
I want to like
Alex, say something funny.
Welcome to the Tech Guy Podcast. Now back to our track and just kick back to the opening music for 45 minutes.
That wasn't.
Yeah, that'd be great.
45 minutes of that.
Coming back at you with 40 minutes of nonstop trance hip hop.
Nonstop this one song.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Play This Podcast. I'm Carl Sardello. This is episode 3,
yeah.
And with me as usual is Mr.
Jason Cross. How you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. We got, as we have every time so far, we have our regular Alex Warro with us.
Yeah, he won't leave.
Yeah, sorry guys.
Well, we couldn't find him last time, so we just locked him in the room.
That's true. You were like, escaped and you ran off like a little wild animal.
Well, I couldn't figure out how to open the door from the inside.
Oh. So what is something that you, what's the best thing you played this week so far, Alex?
The best thing I played this week was the Omar Cummin playlist
that
I think was released by New York Magazine.
Cool.
Cool.
We'll talk about that today. You want to?
Yeah, I'd like to very much.
Okay, sure. Let's do that. We have another guest. Jason, you want to introduce him? David?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or introduce yourself.
Yeah, I was about to say, I guess Jason doesn't want to introduce me.
I know. Yeah, I was like, do you want to? And he's like, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, you should talk.
Yeah, I'm David Daw, freelance writer, write a lot for Game On, write a lot for Tech Hive lately.
Yeah, he's one of us.
He's doing our, we have a column called Now Streaming that we had a movie critic every other week do. Here's all the stuff that's like coming up on Netflix and a theme of what you do. And now David does the every other week about TV stuff.
Oh, cool. And there's a lot of TV coming soon.
Oh, yeah.
We can talk about it a little bit maybe later.
Yeah.
What's the favorite thing you played this week?
The new David Byrne St. Vincent album, Love This Giant, I think it's called, is streaming on NPR this week, and it's pretty awesome.
This is why I love this podcast, because I also learn about things.
Yeah.
We all learn about stuff. I want that now. Okay. What's the rundown, Mr. Jason Cross?
So we're going to talk about those things. That they just mentioned. We're going to talk about the Skyrim DLC.
Downloadable, content.
Called Hearthfire. We're going to talk about a Johnny Cochran documentary, Reggie Watts, who I love. We're going to talk about old video game remixes.
Yes.
We're going to talk about a new album by The Coexist, which has a funky site with Microsoft.
Is it the XX, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
No, I'm sorry. The album's called Coexist.
By
the XS.
Yeah.
XS.
Man, it's a fumble day. It's okay. We all get one of those.
By the double X, right?
Yes.
Double X.
Do they even say it that way?
I don't know.
No one says the double.
It's the XX.
It's the XX. Yeah. Come on, people.
Right. And
that's a lot of cool stuff.
We're talking about Star Trek and old presidential commercials.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
We don't have a wah.
Yeah, we do.
We could be like...
Well, let's wait until we actually start talking about Star Trek Enterprise, and then
we can do that.
Yeah. We can make fun.
Well, that's him just being sorry for it already.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
What do you want to start with?
What would you like to start with?
I don't know. We could talk about Skyrim real quick, just because it's on everybody's mind.
Yeah, let's talk about.
I mean, some people.
Let's talk about Skyrim.
Really? Are you doing it? Oh, there it is. We all know the song very well, probably.
Oh, yeah.
We've all played it here, right? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, who hasn't? I was at the bank the other day, and like the bank teller and me got in a conversation about Skyrim. I was like, you know, you should probably wait on those other people because now it's annoying. The DLC is called Hearthfire. It's the second DLC. The first one was Dawnguard.
Mm-hmm.
You guys all play Dawnguard?
Is it Hearthfire?
Oh, okay.
Or Heartfire?
Heartfire.
Okay.
I think it means September in Tamriel or something.
I still haven't finished the original game. And...
Right. Well, you can never really finish.
Okay. I haven't plumbed the depths of Skyrim.
Yeah. I do the first three quests and then I like start wandering around and then I'm like, I'm so terminally distracted on this character. I'm going to make a new one. And then I do the exact same thing.
I'm like, I want to go back and make a new dude for Heartfire stuff.
You must have loved like back in D&D days, just like making characters. That was so much fun.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
So Heartfire is basically, so Dawnguard was actually a fun DLC in the fact that it was a pretty big storyline. This one is basically you just have a house and you can get land now. And if you want, you can adopt children. Who wants to do that?
Yeah.
But the land part was kind of interesting. And, you know, you get the land. You magically just have a piece of paper in your hand when you start the DLC. Like, oh, by the way, you didn't know you had this in your inventory, but you could get land if you want. So you went and you get it. And I don't know why I was even like remotely interested, but I downloaded it because of Skyrim. And I just got bored really quick. You know, like
right.
it's instead of having the PC version where you just like mod stuff. This is like you kind of slowly have to get pieces of wood, slowly have to get make nails, yeah. Right. And then you can maybe go to the little table and make yourself like the floor to your house.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, I did that. And it got...
So it's like a lot of crafting to make a house.
To make a house, yeah.
Okay.
But the
Some
weirdest,
people are going to be super into that.
They could be, but the weirdest thing is once you finish that and you get, like, you just made something, like a end table or whatever, it just populates it with whatever. Like, oh, there's a little piece of meat on it and this little table and the flowers. Like, you don't really get to choose. It's more like...
Can't you take
it's very broad.
Off?
Yeah, you can then
you can
move
knock it off, yeah, I guess. But, like, it's just weird. It doesn't feel like customizable enough. I feel like I'm just building some preset stuff.
They had to work within the constraints of the game, right?
Like I know, but when you think of modding, you just go like, well, I could just mod
That's
stuff.
That's why
or
you
I could
should
do...
play on the PC and not the Xbox.
Right.
But you're playing on the Xbox?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
This isn't out.
I'm
this,
sorry.
But that's what
say.
This DLC's
I'm
for.
So
it's for consoles.
Yeah, this is not out yet on PC.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know. I didn't realize
So that's my point is that like I just got bored because it's interesting and cool to have your own little house, but just when you think of it next to modding, you know?
Yeah.
The biggest downfall is that I have a house, right? It's in Winter Run. What the? White Run. I have a town in White Run.
Okay.
And all my stuff's in there. Do you know how much stuff we have in Skyrim? A gazillion items.
Yeah.
They don't move over when you have the new house.
Wait,
you
what?
You have to move all that stuff.
Like separately.
Yeah.
Like I can only hold 300 whatever.
Well, that's role playing. Like they didn't have
Oh yeah, no. What Skyrim really needed was a reminder that moving is just awful.
Yeah. I know.
That like
you should be able to hire like moving people.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean,
like you could pay.
You just walk in there and like where did I get all this stuff? Like this is an opportunity to clean house.
I know, it's showing my hoarder.
Do you need those like 15 wheels of cheese?
No, I don't have 15. I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
I have all the houses.
I have a lot of really cool weapons and stuff, but they're all really heavy, so.
All right.
So those are the two things I don't like about it, but I don't know. I bought it anyhow.
Skyrim. Where is the new house? Is it like a mountain or a
It's
valley
like
or?
Lakewood Terrace or something. It's really weird.
So
name.
It's like up somewhere?
It's out in the middle of nowhere. It's like
so
in the wilderness.
It's like a really nice estate in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's kind of
like
nice.
A ranch.
Hill
yeah.
where you adopt children and just build a landed estate.
Like
it's a commune. Like, it's a commune.
It's like Skyrim Thomas Jefferson edition.
Yeah, okay.
Like basically you're just out. You
oh, yeah, Monticello.
Yeah.
But you have to start all over again and basically move all your stuff, which is kind of sucky.
Hmm. Yeah, and like how big can it expand? Like
that's the thing. I mean, that you have one main hall, and you can expand like different what are they called? Offshoots? What's the word for that?
House
wings
or something?
Yeah. Galleries.
And yeah, so you can make it pretty big, but I don't know. I'm just not.
Well, there are quests, enough. Right? Like, aren't bandits going to attack? Or just
yeah, later on, once you have it kind of fortified or in kind of in a nice order, I guess trolls and stuff attack the house, and
it's nice of them to wait.
I know. You would think they would just attack right away when they see me just putting the floor down.
Well, it's like a housewarming party. You got to wait till the host is ready.
Right.
And everything is.
Hey, guys, he's totally done with the house.
Yeah, totally.
Let's come go get over. Him. All right, that's my thing. I don't know.
Well, speaking of old presidential estates, that's a great segue into this thing you found, Alex.
Yeah.
Where's the transition sound?
I want to say it's called like the Living Room Candidate, and you can find it at like livingroomcandidate.org or just Google Living Room Candidate.
That's what it is.
It's actually produced by the Museum of the Musing Image, and it was like funded by Verizon. And what it is this really cool website where you can watch all these different presidential campaign commercials from like 1952 up until present day.
Right.
Cool.
Well, up till the last election.
Right.
2008.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
And what's so fascinating is that you can go back and like the first one I watched, and I haven't watched anywhere near all of them, but they're so neat. The first one I watched it was for Ike back in the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
And like the commercial is just, you can just tell it's like some lady or some dude just speaking to the camera like,
right.
Ike, everyone says that my life is tough. What are you going to do? And then like the camera cuts right. to Ike just standing really uncomfortably in front of a black screen. And then he says like, well, shucks. You know, America's going to move forward. I know the value of a dollar.
So I've got one of them. Here's a great commercial. Let's listen to this for a minute.
Oh, cool.
This is Nixon.
Oh, we're high tech.
This is the Nixon-Kennedy campaign. This is Nixon's commercial.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Vice President of the United States, Richard M. Nixon.
I want to talk to you for a moment about civil rights, equal rights for all our citizens. Why must we vigorously defend them? First, because it is right and just. And second, because we cannot compete successfully with communism if we fail to utilize completely the minds and energies of all of our citizens. And third, the whole world is watching us. When we fail to grant equality to all, that makes news, bad news for America all over the world. Now, the record shows there's been more progress in civil rights in the past 8 years than in the preceding 80 years, because this administration has insisted on making progress. And I want to continue and speed up that progress. I want to help build a better America for all Americans.
Okay, so
contrast that with what you hear from the Republicans.
He sounds so less cartoony than in my head.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's how
I hear him. He sounds so, so earnest. And like that's what's so fun to go back and watch is like, you know,
it's fun to do that, and it's fun to listen to contrast what the party's rhetoric of, you know, 50, 60 years ago was versus today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the same parties and stuff. It's a neat contrast. They're cool, and it's also neat to see, like you said, the production value of these things, which is like all these commercials for the Nixon Kennedy thing, they're like Nixon's sitting in front of a desk.
Yeah.
It's
the kind of thing you would shoot, you know, as like a student project or something.
You would fail getting that. As your student project was like one camera not moving, just shooting a guy sitting on a desk.
And the guy's really uncomfortable and kind of sweating a little bit.
And he just delivers a speech off of like cue cards.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And it's fun to watch, like, if you flip around in the archive, you can watch different. They try different approaches. Like I didn't see a lot of negative ads on the like Swiftboat,
stuff.
But there is like animated ads. We have like people singing and dancing and weird Dr. Seuss
jingles.
Jingles.
They took like commercial jingles and like that's really successful. Let's put jingles in, you know, ads.
But, yeah. In fact, there's one where it's like the one we used to see in the movie theaters. Like, you know, let's all go to the movie.
Is that the I Like Ike one?
Where instead of like a bunch of like popcorn, it's like little farmers on tractors, like just singing. They're going to the polls, and like elephants are going to vote for them.
Is that
really
Ike and
cute.
Mike? Is that Ike and Mike's? Is that a candy?
Mike and Ike's
are amazing.
Was that from that era? Am I just taking a leap here?
I have no idea.
I don't
go to the movies, get some little Ike candies.
I don't think Mike and Ike's were part of the Ike presidential campaign, but it would be pretty fantastic.
Fever dream, they were. What's the next thing? That was awesome, dude. I'm going to go there after this.
So we're going to swap from Alex's amazing good taste to his amazing bad taste.
Oh, we're going
to
just double Alex? Oh,
you want to double down right here?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Where's the double down button?
All right,
double down.
Well, okay, so I want to proceed this. I played two bad things this week, but one of them is secretly an interesting good thing in disguise.
Okay.
Do you want to start with Star Trek?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Wait. Is that the interesting good thing in disguise? Because we're going to have some words.
So. Yes,
have
words. That's exactly why I wanted to bring it up. I also played Farmville 2. Not that exciting, but there's a Farmville 2. Okay, Star Trek Enterprise has been out since 2001. It's been on Netflix since last year.
Yes.
It is widely considered to be the worst Star Trek TV series.
I would argue that's Voyager, but it's a close second in that contest.
Okay, I'm on its worst. So, I think Voyager's the second worst, but it's not good.
You know what? It's not great. It's basically what got Star Trek on TV canceled, because up until the end of Enterprise, there had always been a Star Trek thing on TV. And there had always been a Star Trek lot of the Paramount lots. I think it's Paramount.
Yeah.
And they were, when they were canceled a couple, like back in 2002, that was the end of Star Trek on TV.
Yeah. And they repurposed the lot or something.
Yeah.
They said nope.
So.
And it was super annoying. All right. Super disappointing to me, because when they heard they were making it, I was like, oh, that's a really good idea. It's before the Shatner. Mm-hmm. It's like the first Enterprise. Ooh, Scott Bakula. I like him a lot. That's going to be great. It was terrible.
It wasn't great. And the first two seasons, the first season especially, is very stilted acting. It's got very rough, like confusing dialogue. Mm-hmm. And no one seems like they're really into it. Like whenever there's an action scene, they just kind of like no one – like when you watch Deep Space Nine – and all of this is on Netflix, by the way. It's all streaming. It's how I watched it. I think it's also on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. When you watch Deep Space Nine, people like throw themselves behind like bulkheads and they duck down behind things and they just run and jump, and like it's kind of silly because they're laser pistols when they're in combat scenes, but you're still like you believe they're scared and they're combat.
They're just phoning it in this one.
In Enterprise, like whenever something bad's about to happen, someone just kind of scuttles behind. Like they just kind of like
it's about to blow,
and they just kind of quietly walk out the door and then just lean behind the wall. And then they walk back in and go, woof, good thing we survived that. And it's like, well.
It's really bad.
Yeah. All right. I mean, fair.
There's weird cheesecake moments, too, where it's like, they're like, we're going to have like a whole scene where it's an excuse for Jolene Blaylock to like rub gel all over her body.
Yeah. By the way, I missed this whole series. I mean, I looked at it and went, whoa, it smelled the bad.
I have to say, though, and this is its worst crime, is the opening.
Oh, yeah.
It has the worst opening of any Star Trek. I have, for your contrast and comparison.
Oh, you're going to play the song?
I think the best one was Next Generation, so I'm going to play that.
Yeah.
Space.
the final.
We're going to get a little sentimental if you hear this too long. I'll cry.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise.
It's continuing. Wow, Alex is nerding out.
To explore strange new worlds.
You got it.
To seek out new life.
This monologue goes on for a while.
I know, we probably.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, no,
you get
good.
The idea. It's almost here, guys. You just air guitared to that, Alex. I know, I'm going to let them know that. You air guitared to that.
So that's a good Star Trek opening. And of course, the original. And things like Voyager and stuff weren't so bad. You know, and then, but then they went completely, they took a complete left turn and gave us this.
Here's,
oh. It's been a long, oh, that's right. I have heard this song. I'm out.
Yeah.
Why would you ever
what
even?
What is this?
Okay, no, I'm not arguing in favor of this. No. Although I am going to say, does that grow on you eventually when you actually watch the whole show?
It does.
Because here's the thing. Firefly, another show with a just really kind of god-awful folksy theme song. That theme song kind of grows on you.
It really grew on me. No, I like that one.
And and I could see that, like, I could see getting to the point where I'm like, almost Stockholm Syndrome, like, into that theme song.
It's weird that you picked up on that, because that's exactly what I've been watching it all week, and last week my girlfriend is big into Star Trek in general, and we haven't seen Enterprise yet. In fact, I haven't finished it. I'm two seasons in, or I'm on a third season, and there's four seasons in total. And after you watch about 10 episodes, every time that comes on, you're just like, yeah, baby, let's go for another one. It's been a long time.
Terrible.
No.
See, here's the argument I think you're about to make, I'm not totally against this argument. And that is that as that series progressed, in their desperation to stay on the air as almost nobody watched it, it went crazy. Like, it went crazy with the fan service. Like, there was, as I recall, like a three-parter with Brent Spiner as Data's, like, inventor's great-grandfather who was in charge of, like, all of Kong
Professor
Union
Sun or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, I believe that, like, all that stuff where they start calling forward. Mm-hmm. In time, but back in real time to the previous series comes in season four, which I haven't gotten to yet.
Okay. Season three, I just ruined everything for you. So
that's okay. I don't really care. I mean, it gets canceled and you kind of like whatever. But what I want to point out is that the first season or two is really stilted and like they have trouble kind of. It's not believable at all. When you get to the third season, like, stuff gets real, like in a weird way that I've never seen in the Star Trek series before. Because, and I don't want to like presume too much, but it seems like while Gene Roddenberry was alive and had some creative control over the series, everything was very ideal. Like, the Federation was always a tech utopia. You know, there was no money, there was no hunger, there was no like war. Right. Really, it was all in the past.
He rather famously wanted there to be no conflict between any of the crewmates of Next Generation. Like, there should never be an argument between anyone on the Enterprise.
Hmm. Yeah.
Which, so not the real life.
Well,
not real
world. Well, and Star Trek is still great because they explore so many, like, interesting, like, they explore society and, like, real issues in reflection, you know, like through a sci-fi mirror darkly. So Enterprise isn't really hung up on any of that. And by the third, like, they kind of try to be really utopian and, like, forward-thinking, and we're going to explore the frontier and really talk about the majesty of the human spirit in space. But by the third season, like, stuff just goes terribly wrong. And you get to the point where, like, and they kind of hammer it a little too hard, but it's still fascinating to watch everything go dark because the captain is on this, like, basically this mission to save Earth, but he starts doing terrible, terrible things.
Does he do drugs?
And then he calls, someone does do drugs, actually.
See?
In a weird,
it's the real world,
and like it's a long multi-episode arc where you watch this character just like start to break down,
and still has that schmaltzy theme song.
Yes,
that's what I don't get.
But it's, like, there's like a six.
I mean, how do you have the real world with that song? It's been a long. Well, the long road is all the drugs you had to do,
right?
And all the different.
But it's so weird
problems. Because
like you have that schmaltzy song, and that matches the first two seasons because they're kind of like friendly and lovey-dovey and like optimistic. The third season is just dark for like 6 to 8 episodes. Nothing good happens. Only horrible things happen. It's not quite as dark as a Breaking Bad or a Walking Dead of modern era, but it's remarkably close. And this is in a Star Trek series.
Yeah. My quick question is why you started watching it, though. Was it kind of like a...
His girlfriend is so into Star Trek.
Yes.
Oh, you got to try it.
You just ran out of Star Trek, didn't you?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Well, but neither of us had ever actually watched all of Enterprise because it was so bad in the first two seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there was a sickness and there was streaming and we watched it. And I'm kind of glad we did.
Somebody gets sick and you just watch what there is.
Yeah. So I just want to like put that out there. I know it's bad. Listener, you know it's bad too.
Yeah, so it's a semi-recommendation. It's like if you want to,
if you can power through the first couple of seasons,
it's and a really, song. Well, it's a really interesting end to Star Trek.
Yeah, and to be fair, you got to do that sometimes. I mean, in this week's now streaming TV, I'm talking about Parks and Rec is one of the shows. And like, I just tell people like
right from the beginning.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm like, I just skipped the first season. Just straight up skip. It's only like 6 or 7 episodes, but Leslie Knope is like so out of character. Most of the people don't really know what they're doing yet.
Yeah, I like that show.
I always loved that show.
I'm with David. I hung around for Swanson and that was it.
So this coming season, which starts on the 20th or something like that, is their last one. Mm-hmm. Even though the show does well.
It is. Parks and Rec is the one series that was renewed not as like just once. Like they may actually get a 6th season after this 5th one.
Okay.
It's 30 Rock and Community that are absolutely dead after this.
Right. And 30 Rock needs to end. It's
It's run its course.
And Office. Is ending, and that's run its course.
Well, that ran its course a long time ago.
Yeah, didn't that show end 2 years ago? Answer, yes, it did.
British Office, British Office, yes or no, right?
I mean, as a question of superiority or as a question of it being just really good?
So, I think superiority, really.
I don't know.
Really?
I mean,
they're different enough that I don't really care.
Okay.
But yeah, you should watch both of them.
Okay. What's our next topic? Are we going to segueing?
But Parks and Rec, I just think. I thought it was ending after the season. That gives me hope. But if they don't, I want to see a spinoff with Ron Swanson where he gets fed up with like government life and he goes and he lives in his cabin.
Oh, in his shack.
And it's Ron Swanson, Mountain Man, and that's the show. I would watch that show.
What I love about that show is that I would watch a spinoff with almost any of those characters. I would totally watch a spinoff with like Andy actually ending up in a local police force.
It's got to be Andy and April, right?
Right.
Yeah. The two of them, that show. Yeah, I'd watch that.
I would watch Aziz. If they actually had Entertainment 720 come back as a spinoff, I would watch that.
I like his friend, whatever.
John Ralphio. I'd watch that show too,
Do you guys know the actor who plays Ron Swanson actually carves his own wood?
Yes,
he
in real life.
He has a company. He has a wood carving company.
I just learned
company.
That today.
And he is married to Megan Mullaney, who was the like crazy, wacky girlfriend on Will and Grace. She's
And his ex-wife.
And is Tammy too.
Oh, that's right, Tammy too. All right, what's our next topic? We're getting off top. Well, that's not. It's the same.
We've gone too much stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's keep going with the funny stuff. Which Reggie Watts is hilarious.
We
had a Reggie Watts thing.
Well,
to point
as you all know, did I mention on the podcast Comedy Bang Bang? It's a great show.
Oh yeah, I was literally just watching the John Hamm episode again with friends last night.
Love it. Okay, and that's been a podcast for a long time, by the way. If you want to go, it's Earwolf Radio. Go listen to the podcast. So he is amazing. He's the band guy on Comedy Bang Bang, but he did a special for Funny or Die. And it's just like showing from his songs from his new record or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if I believe him because it all felt like he just improvises, you know? Mm-hmm. He improvises brilliantly.
He does it all vocally with like some.
Oh, yeah. If you have never heard of Reggie Watts, he's just an amazing sample master, but he creates his own audio tracks into line sixes and just loops them.
Did you ever see the TED Talk he gave? Which was half.
Oh yeah,
it was half just him doing improvised music performances like he does, and then he would just drop out of it at a moment's notice and start babbling in a vaguely British voice about nonsense. But it was nonsense that sounds exactly like platitudes from every TED talk you've ever listened to.
Yeah. Yeah. He's good, like a chameleon. He understands how to like you know. Yeah,
he went through a few different like this is what you hear at every TED talk. Like, different things.
So that's a special, and it's on Funny or Die right now.
There's one in particular, one track where he gives it to Skrillex.
I know, and I'm confused about that.
I've got it for ruining.
Show
dumpster.
For a minute, and then I have thoughts on that.
Let's listen a little bit.
Okay.
Tribunal in Berlin, you'll get charged with conspiracy of ruining an entire genre.
Oh, it's so rough.
David Guetta, where are you? David Guetta, you know what you did. You did a good job, I'm okay with that, but Skrillex, come on.
That's a heavy drop.
If you truly love dubstep, you think about not doing dubstep no more. You change it up and just do a country album.
Oh, that's a good stopping point. Yeah, so, I mean, I still love Skrillex, though. And
I don't.
I'm confused. Well, okay. Well, I like dubstep. Yeah. Oh, you're on dubstep.
Dubstep's okay. I listen to Skrillex.
I like terrible dubstep remixes.
I am so conflicted because I love Reggie Watts and I actually enjoy Skrillex music. He's just saying that because it's commercial now.
It's in every car commercial.
But is that one person's fault? Really, Reggie?
He kind of popularized it. He became like the poster child.
Yeah, it's Skrillex's fault.
Yeah, I mean, I'm torn between slowly coming around to dubstep and really enjoying making fun of Skrillex.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's just...
Also, he looks ridiculous and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, but are we really going to go that level?
Like, yeah, I feel like...
I don't like the way that guy looks.
I do. I just think he looks ridiculous.
My girlfriend actually made a Valentine card for me this year that said, I wub you, which with a picture of Skrillex, and it flashes between a negative and a regular version of Skrillex over and over again.
That's an awesome card.
See, that's good.
Yeah. See, but anyways, I love Reggie Watts, and that's what I'll leave it as, because I'm still going to listen to Skrillex.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, what's next?
Let's talk about one of David's things.
Yeah, maybe, David.
What would you like to talk about? The best thing you heard all week.
The best thing I mean, the thing I've been having the most fun with this week is the Western Digital TV Live set-top box I got for the new TV. But that may just be me being thrilled I have a stable internet connection again after moving into a new place.
That could be true.
But, I mean, I'm really, like, I'm enjoying being able to stream things from a whole bunch of different sources.
So, what was the David Byrne thing?
Oh, yes. Giant.
I'm a big fan. It's David Byrne and who?
Anne St. Vincent, right?
Yeah. Annie Clark is her real name.
Right.
And
they have a new album called Love This Giant.
Yes.
Which you can get on all the things, iTunes and Amazon, all this stuff. But NPR is streaming it for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you can't actually get it on all those things yet because I don't think it comes out until next Tuesday officially. Hmm. So it's one of those NPR stream early
things. They have links saying buy this album, but maybe they're dead until then.
Yeah,
I didn't check.
There's a pre-purchase thing because when I bought the first single called Who, which is a great song.
Yeah.
That is just like, I don't know what it is, but that St. Vincent brought back out of him, but it's like really like classic Talking Heads David Byrne in a way that he like has not been in like a decade.
Yeah, sometimes you need that. Like another artist has to like do something with you, collab, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, that's who I was.
I got a clip of one called the One Who Broke Your Heart.
You have so much clips. It's crazy.
People, if we talk about this, they need to hear this.
I know, but I'm impressed.
Well, let's listen to this.
Okay.
Am I the one you imagine? Am I heaven or hell? No one else can come.
Yeah, that's fun.
I'm ready
to dance.
If you're a David Byrne fan, that's the good stuff right there.
That sounds like Talking Heads. That's great.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So can you get on NPR still? Is it like a stream somewhere on the website?
I think they do these sort of weekly streams that go for the whole week. So it should be around.
It may not be around by the time you hear this.
Yeah.
But at that point, you can buy the album.
Okay. Yeah. We'll put a show note link for something at some point.
And hopefully you'll be able to stream it on the streaming things like Spotify and stuff like that too.
Yeah.
Groovy.
But it's really good. I like David Byrne, and I listened to about half the tracks on that, and I was just like, wow, a lot of these are really good.
And I love Saint
a lot
Vincent
of these are
too.
Like good old style stuff with like funky horn instruments and stuff like that.
Yeah, got me dancing.
Yeah,
what's one of your things, Jason Cross?
Oh, I was checking out old video game music lately.
Uh-huh.
There's
on.
There's a site called OC Remix. Mm-hmm. That's been around forever.
Yeah, I saw it on the list and I was like, man, I remember OC Remix. I was super into it freshman year of college.
Right.
Like I was that, which was a while ago.
Yeah,
right. It's been around, God, as long as people have been putting video game music on the internet. So it's ocremix.org, and they're still around. They're still publishing new stuff, and you can search by game and all the stuff. But it's basically fans, musicians who make remixes of video game songs, and it's all free because they can't charge for other people's intellectual property and stuff. It's like fan remakes of songs.
Is it MP3s downloads as well?
They're MP3 downloads. Okay. They do special albums, and they've done quite a lot of these that are all based around a game. Like, they may do a Zelda album, and they'll commission a lot of they'll get a lot of the remixers in the scene. There's a whole scene for this stuff to like submit their things, and they'll pick the next 12 or something like that. And then you can download those with torrents and stuff.
Wait, is this a website that has all that really cool art too, like the album art? There's another site that's like that.
It has art. It's not. That's you're probably thinking of something else.
There's another website. Well, I'll put that in the show notes too because there's another one just like this that has incredible like 8-bit art on every one of the.
Oh
albums.
No, it's this isn't that. Yeah.
Okay. Anyways,
so
you're gonna play
a
song.
This has a bunch of old stuff. And stuff from old games, stuff from new games. A lot of it sounds like here's a remix of a Sonic thing that sounds a lot like Sonic except new instruments.
Name the zone. What zone?
Brilliant.
Granite Hill.
Yeah.
And it's easy because it's
frozen. Yeah.
So a lot of them are like that. There's this one. This is a little bit of a long sample, but I wanted to play this one because I love it. It's these guys. These are real instruments. One where people play a mashup of they mix the Christmas song Sleigh Ride with stuff from Super Mario.
Oh, this one. This one's been around for a long time.
This is old. This one's been around for at least 12 years or something like that.
But new to you.
It's probably new to you. And
listener.
There's all this kind of great stuff on OCU. So the trick here is to listen to, they just play basically these two things at the same time and they fit.
Hmm.
And not just two things. Several songs from Super Mario, they just play literally over top of Sleigh Ride and it works.
Do it. Oh, that's cool.
Wait. It's a whole medley.
Wait
so
for it.
Wait for it, yeah.
I really want a present now. I want it to be Christmas time. That's cool. So I approve.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So they're taking all these, like that piano bit is from Super Mario, and then a sax is playing Sleigh Ride over it. And
nice.
It totally
cool.
fits. And
we should.
That's a medley of like six things. And so OC Remix, there's a lot of really bad stuff on there where
yeah.
it's like it's the Techno House Club remix of this song that you heard a million times.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of really amazing creative stuff on there.
Yeah.
That's totally worth
it. There's just a lot of stuff on
and
there.
And it's all free.
Yeah.
And it's been around so long that you can lose yourself in there all week long and just fill up your hard drive.
I'm just spitballing here, but I'm thinking that Play This should do a Christmas album.
Oh, man.
We should at least curate a playlist.
Do something. Good. Yeah.
Oh.
Let's write that as a note.
Yeah.
Christmas playlist.
Play This Spotify
play this.
Playlist.
Play This Christmas playlist. There you go. Anywho, let's talk about a couple more
playlist, and then we'll have Christmas, and then we'll do other holidays as they come.
Thanksgiving. There's no Thanksgiving songs, by the way. Is there? No, that's a fun
I'm
thing.
Sure
fun
there
fact.
Will be.
Just, no, there isn't.
I'm sure. Now someone's going to write in.
Please.
Write in to
entertainment@techhive.com
with the subject play this podcast and tell us how Carlos is wrong.
Yeah, and
about
here's
Thanksgiving
song, and here's a link.
Adam Sandler, you
it.
Are wrong.
Adam Sandler, does he have one? Oh. We have only a couple, not too much long.
The Thanksgiving song. The Thanksgiving song, it's called.
It's
Adam Sandler.
I think yeah.
Okay,
it's the
one
about turkey and whatever, you know, yes.
All right.
Oh, I can't believe it.
What else do we got on the list before the show's over?
We're not going to talk about Farmville 2. We don't need to talk
no,
about
no.
All
no.
you need to know is Farmville 2 is out.
There's another Farmville.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Done.
What's this Johnny Carson thing?
Oh, that's my thing, actually.
Yeah.
Just PBS. I love. Well, who didn't like Johnny Carson?
I don't have a clip of Johnny Carson.
That's okay.
Unfortunately.
I have had so many clips. I know. Good
really
job.
Trying.
But it's on PBS. Every once in a while, they have really great documentaries. And on their website, doing a pretty good job of putting them up like in their entirety on the mm-hmm. website.
Right.
Because lots of times, you know, you just get that 90-second preview or whatever and watch it at 8 p.m. on your television.
Yeah, not PBS. They're
Some
awesome.
Of us yeah. cord cutters don't have those things. the whole documentary is up there. It's on Carson, and it's awesome. And he was kind of a dick, but he was also brilliant. So I recommend it to anybody who's in show business at all or does shows. To go watch it.
I hadn't heard that he was mean, except that he really didn't like people that he thought were like intellectually dishonest.
Yeah,
that were fake.
Oh, no.
There was a big.
So he was really mean to people who he thought was fake.
Well, that too, but he just was a recluse. Really, he didn't really want to be around people. He just do his show.
Interesting.
And there was kind of a famous feud between Joan Rivers was just on the Nerdist comedy podcast
and was
kind of doing a career retrospective, and she was. Delightful and adorable and like your dirty old grandmother in the best way possible, like she always is. But she went in for a long time about about how Johnny Carson was probably the single best performer she'd ever seen in her life, but was kind of a dick.
Yeah, and then she also was in that documentary for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But and she mentioned on the Nerdist podcast, which by the way, you should listen to that podcast, it's good.
Yeah.
That she didn't really get to do her full side, I mm-hmm. think, on that documentary. They kind of did a couple sound bites or whatever.
Mm.
Also, another side note, Joan Rivers' documentary I watched that too. That crazy one.
I forget the name of it, but it is. It's a fantastic documentary.
Yeah, I like that. I was watching them at the same time.
Also
actually.
On PBS?
No, that's Netflix.
It's on Netflix, but mm-hmm. I think it's streaming over there. I think, but it's I think it's actually like an A&E
piece
jam.
Of work.
It's
a piece
like
of work.
A, yes,
yeah. Joan Rivers, a piece of work. I was actually watching both of those at the same time. So I was watching the Carson thing, and they mentioned Joan. So old school. I mean, if you know, you don't, can't know where you're going until you know where you've been. People in show business and people in the internet web show business. Go look at that stuff.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. So we got one last item on the docket. And
what is it?
We got enough time for it, really. There's a new album by the XX called called Coexist. Mm-hmm. Or actually, there is about.
Or is it from the artist Coexist and it's the album's XX?
I know. I can't get it straight. Like, because I don't care, I don't get it right. I don't really.
No, it's okay. It's a good album.
See, I wasn't into it, but it's not my style of stuff.
Yeah. Okay,
so here let's play a cut.
Wait, is it your pick and it's not your style of stuff?
I just wanted to bring. I'll talk about the website in a minute.
Yeah.
But
okay.
So.
That's nice and relaxing. I'm going to take a nap.
There's a site at coexist.dxxx.info, another one of those .infos.
.info.
So they worked together with Microsoft to make this HTML5 site where you can preview this album, which mm-hmm. apparently isn't out yet, although it may be by the time you hear this.
Yeah.
And it's the whole deal with this is that they wanted to show off HTML5 technologies and look at it in IE and all that stuff. It actually works fine in Chrome and
any other
modern HTML5 supporting browser. But it shows a map of the Earth and it shows these lines. When you share it, it shows like a line going from where you were. It uses HTML5 location stuff and shows where you are and who you shared it to, and mm-hmm. it makes a line there. And you can swipe through the right side with touch if you're on a touch tablet, whatever, or with your mouse, and go through time and see how it's jumping around as people.
Yeah,
share.
I like that. That's
so
cool.
that was the kind of the cool thing about that I thought. And it's this is Microsoft's done promotions. So they did a thing with Gorillaz and back for IE9 and right. everything.
Yeah. They're like, who's the newest band the kids are listening to?
That's what they do.
It's the X's yeah. X's.
Right. I've never heard of this band. Is that
the double X's?
Am I old?
You call them double
you're,
X's.
Yes, you're
young.
You're always, but he's somehow always old.
He's got an old mind, old soul.
You're the,
yeah, I think that's true.
Yes,
this is their second album. Huh. It's really quite good, but the reviews have been kind of middling in that weird way where if you don't change up enough from a really fantastically reviewed first album, people get really upset.
It's kind
at you.
Of, why just more of the same? Because it's awesome.
Kind of that kind of European pop music that I don't. It's just not my style.
It's like, great for going to bed too. Like I would put that first record on to go like just fall asleep too. Like, it's
I would just put on Portishead or something.
I like Portishead. You know what? It's funny. I did that the other night, but every once in a while something would just bam, like a Portishead or something. Boom, boom, and like the orchestra. And you're like, whoa! I was trying to sleep.
Yep. Well, I gotta go listen to it right now,
Alex. There's this thing called rock and roll music out there.
Yeah,
and you might want to. Just kidding.
I
was going back to the old soul thing.
He's got a lot to research on Spotify now.
I just woke up.
Before we go, I really want to mention, I saw this on the way to the podcast. There's a thing called Plimpton. It's PLYMPTON. I'll give you the show.
Yeah.
I'll get the link.
Sounds like a hoagie.
It sounds like a really weird name.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's on Kickstarter, and it's interesting because it's a new way to do serialized fiction. So recently today, I don't know if you're listening to this podcast, but recently Amazon announced their kind of re-love for the direct publishing stuff, which is if you're an independent author, you can, publish
stuff. They've been doing this for a few years.
They've been doing it for a while.
Sort of beta,
right.
Whatever.
And so now they announced serials, which is like shorter versions and more episodic content with writing. Mm-hmm. And then this is what this is, which is interesting, but it's kind of even smaller because it's a Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed really cool. And it was about each one of the episodes, in quotes, is 7,000 words to 25,000 words. So they're smaller.
Yeah.
So check out Plimpton on Kickstarter. Also, direct publishing on Amazon, I guess, is good as well. But plug of my own thing, me and my girlfriend actually worked on a thing called Caves of Anapo, and we came up with this idea of serialized content.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's like a crest right now. Like written word can also be episodes,
Right.
So we made one called Caves of Anapo, and we put Unscribed.
Right.
Which is a great website. So I'm really excited about this new...
I was
going to
ask about that. Now that you... are you going to continue doing that, or are you going to try and do the Amazon serial thing?
I think we can do both. You know, because we have all rights reserved. It can go on both places.
I guess.
Thanks. I will. You're like, no, I really
seal
do.
Seal approval.
I think you should.
Where's the seal approval music? Get it. Where's the seal approval? There it is. So why I'm saying play is check out Plimpton and see what kind of content's coming that way.
Right.
But also Scribd has a lot of really cool stuff already.
So is that Kickstarter done, funded, still
no, it's,
going on?
I think it's still going on right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's neat. I mean, like a lot of, as the resident old man,
yes, Grandpa, tell me a story.
A lot of the greatest sci-fi novels were published as serialized fiction.
Like, right, there you go.
Sci-fi magazines and stuff. So this is like
wasn't even...
Return to it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't even a lot of, you know... David Copperfield, that kind of stuff. Weren't those originally serials?
Maybe I believe so, yeah.
Like everything that, basically everything that he ever wrote was serialized.
You can, like, it was early days of the printing press, you can crank out like large books to everyone. You
could
crank out pamphlets to everyone, so they didn't hold these things as pamphlets. And...
I guess what I'm saying is, listeners, don't be afraid of cereal.
Yeah.
No matter what it is.
Like eat it or you know, any kind of cereal you want to eat.
Or listen to it or play it.
Yeah, that's it. That's my stuff. I think we're done.
Right. I think that's enough stuff to keep you busy for the next week.
I know. By the way, when they finish our podcast, they should be like just really busy because we told them a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
What is your Twitter, David?
David H. Daw, at David H. Daw.
There you go. And where can they find you on the Tech Hive? What's your... now streaming, right?
Search for his name and you'll find it.
Oh, wow. Just do that.
Yeah.
Search TechHive.com and look for his name.
That he writes, yeah.
Jason Cross, you are?
Jason Cross 00.
Alex Waro, besides being DJ A-dubs, which I've called you, you're something else.
I awoke from cryogenic sleep and immediately claimed at A-W-A-W-R-O because it seemed relatively straightforward.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a straightforward kind of guy.
If a little boring.
Yeah. Waro.
He's a Waro.
And I am Onawa, O-N-A-W-A. That'll do it for the episode. Thank you very much. Send us emails at entertainment@techhive.com.
Yep. Subject, play this podcast.
And that's it. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.